Well, good evening, America, and welcome to You Be the Jury, the hottest 30 minutes in talk radio, where we tackle a new, hot-off-the-press issue and statistics or religion every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, Attorney Rossi Williams of Rossi Williams Law Group. You, my listeners, are the jury, and you're going to weigh in with your verdict tonight, online or via phone. Our question or issue for tonight is, should schools be held liable when teachers molest or kidnap students? Should schools be liable when their teachers molest and or kidnap students? Now, we are going to talk about this issue tonight, and I'll be right back to take your comments live on air after this short message.
We are feeling the fire on You Be the Jury, our new live call-in talk show where you, the jury, decides who's right. Every Tuesday night, we're tackling hot-off-the-press issues in social justice, politics, and religion. All viewpoints are welcome. Political correctness aside, respectfulness required. Invite your family and friends to feel the fire with your host, Attorney Rossi Williams.
Well, we're back. I am Rossi Williams, and I welcome all of you who are tuned in live tonight on You Be the Jury. As you should know, or I'm sure you've probably heard by now, we're dealing with the about 2-week manhunt for a Tennessee high school teacher by the name of Mr. Tad Commons. Allegedly, he had kidnapped his freshman high school student, Miss Elizabeth Thomas. Now, according to the reports on CNN, Mr. Commons, a high school teacher, had inappropriate sexual comments, remarks, and or interaction with Elizabeth Thomas, who had been homeschooled all of her life through eighth grade. So this would have been her first time in the public school system. Well, now she's there, or she was there, and another student reported seeing Mr. Commons kissing Elizabeth. According to CNN, the school not only did not report this to Elizabeth's parents for almost a week, but their only discipline of the teacher was to instruct him not to have further contact with Elizabeth and to remove Elizabeth from his classroom. Of course, as you now know, he didn't stop having interaction with Elizabeth. As a matter of fact, the DA has found multiple romantic emails which were exchanged between the two. Then the school suspended him. So this is about a month later, according to the timeline that we've been given. So then the school suspended him. And after suspending him, he then abducted Elizabeth, based on all of the reports in the manhunt, and he's nowhere to be found. They're nowhere to be found. They're living off the grid, which seems almost impossible in today's day and age. But for 2 weeks, the FBI, the police, even with all the Amber Alerts and everyone searching, no one knows where Mr. Cummins and Elizabeth are. No one knows if she's safe. No one knows if she's alive. And what made this more interesting for me is that I actually went to the teacher's Twitter account, because he still has a Twitter account posted, and he described himself as a Jesus freak. That is his description. Jesus freak, child of the king, high school teacher, clinician, drama, all of these things. But at this point, there are parents out there looking and hoping that their kids are going to come home. But you are the jury. I want to know what you think about this tonight. Should the schools be liable when their teachers, their employees, molest students or kidnap students? What do you think? I'm opening the lines now. For those of you who are tuned in on phone, via phone, just press 1 and I will bring you on air. You won't have to say your name. I'll call out the last 4 digits of your telephone number as they appear in my queue, and we'll bring you on as Gerard number 1234, for example. For those tuned in online, you can type your comments, and I will read them on air. Everyone, please remember the rules of this courtroom. No profanity, no name calling of other Gerards. Stay on topic. And all viewpoints, all deliberations are welcome. So I'm going to open the lines now. They will remain open throughout the entire 30-minute broadcast. Whenever you want to speak, press 1, type your comment in. Don't wait for me to stop, and then I'll stop talking, and I will bring you in to hear what you have to say as a juror. Now, I've already been talking with some people, and they've been giving me some comments earlier online as well. So I do want to go ahead and let you know that the consensus is at this point that the school should be responsible if they had knowledge of what was going on, or if the school should have known what was going on. But I wonder, how would you know? You know, in this instance, we had a situation where a student actually told the school what was going on. And the schools always tell the kids, when you see something, say something. But in this instance, when the kid actually followed those instructions and said something, what happened? Nothing happened from what the kid could see, right? In actuality, Elizabeth was moved out of the teacher's room. So maybe the students can interpret that as when you go and report something, whether it's something that the teacher is doing or bullying or whatever, you as the student may end up being the one punished. Another viewpoint that I had from a juror, which I thought was a very great point, was what about the other students that remained in the room? So, for instance, the school removed Elizabeth from the room and instructed the teacher not to have further contact with her, but what about the other girls in the classroom? So was it then okay to continue contact with them? What was going on there? As an attorney, I want to talk to you about 2 things here, because a lot of times I find that people don't always have the knowledge, and I didn't either before becoming an attorney and being in this specific practice area, of the differences or the different 2 main types of law at play here. One is the practice area known as administrative law. And then the other deals more with civil kind of lawsuits or employment issues. You see, administrative law is the practice of law that deals with any government agency or board, such as the Department of Education. So when teachers have tenure, you cannot just fire them without what would be called an administrative hearing process. That's why so often you hear teachers say, I'm trying to get tenure, I need tenure. It is the same for a police officer, because the Department of Corrections or the Department of Law Enforcement, wherever they are, that is a government agency or board. So that's administrative law. The same for nurses, such as I'm also a nurse. We are governed by a government agency or board. Cosmetologists, I'm just giving you examples. IRS, protective services, all of that falls under administrative law. So the school would usually not have been able to come in and immediately fire the teacher. However, they would have been able, based on their investigation, to have suspended this teacher and initiated that process instead of waiting for all of this to occur. Now, under the administrative law, the parent would not be able to recover damages. Like one juror spoke to me earlier and said, well, the parent should sue. Now, that's a different type of law, right? That's a civil type of law. And what you're usually dealing with there is a respondent superior action, meaning the employer is responsible for the employee and what goes on with the employee. It can include negligent supervision, all of these things. And so you can come in, even for the kid, it could possibly be assault and battery. We'll find all of this out because this is would be a minor. Once they hopefully catch Mr. Cummins and see what's going on here. But these are the areas where you go in and you sue for, you know, the school for the monetary damages. So as the jury and as parents, some of you who may actually be students now, what do you think about this type of situation where you have teachers coming in and having romantic interactions with students? Should the school be responsible for that? I have another comment here. Yes, I have someone who believes that, yes, the school should be responsible. The teachers are their employees. And they knew about this kid, okay, knew about, I think, the teacher kissing the kid. All right, so it sounds like right now we're having a very unanimous jury in relation to this situation. And let me make sure, because I'm getting a text message here, if you are on the phone and you can hear me, press 1 on your phones, please. I know we experienced this problem previously, but this should have been resolved by tonight. If you can hear me and you're tuned in on the phone, please press 1 on your phone now. Okay, I'm starting to see people press 1. Okay, good. I wanted to make sure because I was getting some messages. All right, if you do not have a comment, press 1 again so it'll take you out of my queue. But if you have a comment that you want to make, then press 1 to stay on the line. All right, I have some more comments here again. Wow, the jurors are really upset about this. All right, I have jurors who feel that, all right, that the teacher has tendencies similar to what you may see in a situation where you may have someone who seeks out children. And of course, we're not alleging, we're not saying that the teacher is a pedophile or anything like that. We are going with the reports that have been all over the news as to what has occurred, that the DA has even said that they have proof of a romantic relationship having been in existence. And, you know, I kind of take issue with that as well. When you're dealing with a minor, they don't even really have the legal ability to consent. You know, that's why you have strict laws like statutory rape. And you see the exception sometimes with Romeo and Juliet statues where you're dealing with two, you know, teenagers. But here, the teacher is 50 years old, and the student is 15. As I said at the beginning of tonight's broadcast, she's been homeschooled all the way up through the ninth grade. Does she really have the capacity and the understanding to have what we would consider to be a consenting romantic relationship with a teacher? Or would it be more a situation where this person is probably in awe? You know how you were when you were in school and when I was in high school, and you have that crush or something. You know, the older person is paying you some attention, and you just think, oh, my God. But could that really be defined as a romantic relationship? You're the jury. I want to hear from you tonight. You're definitely on fire. I'm getting more comments from my online jurors tonight. So we're going to hear this short break. And when we come back, I want to hear from the jurors who are on the phone as well. Should the schools be liable when teachers molest and or kidnap students? You're the jury. I want to hear what you have to say about this tonight.
Ms. Williams became an attorney after her brother's crushing trial and incarceration. He is the only son of five children. Previously, she had 20 years healthcare experience beginning in the Army and is still a registered nurse. She holds many additional certifications and leadership roles and is a sought-after public speaker, author, consultant, and trainer. Ms. Williams aggressively fights for those she serves. It's her purpose to fight for your justice. Feel the fire and learn more at callrossiwilliams.com.
Well, I am Attorney Rossi Williams. I'm very excited about having you here tonight because we're really touching on a very critical subject. Whether you are a parent, whether you are, a current student, someone in the criminal justice system, law enforcement, or an attorney or an educator, or even if you no longer have kids who are in, grade school or high school, but maybe you have other family members, such as nieces, nephews, grandkids, who are in school, do you really want to have to worry about whether or not they're safe from the very teachers to whom you have entrusted them? We're not talking about whether or not they're safe from the gangbanger, whether or not they're safe from the robber, whether or not they're safe from the other kids who are bullies, whether or not they're safe from being hurt walking to and from school. We're talking about in the classroom itself with those authority figures, the teachers, the adults. Are they safe with them? When teachers are molesting, raping, kidnapping students, come on. We've seen this story many times. We could go back to Deborah LaFave. We could go back to teachers getting pregnant by 13-year-old kids, married adult teachers who have their own spouses and children coming into the schoolhouse, sleeping with, manipulating, molesting children and getting pregnant by them with no remorse, no shame, saying they're too beautiful to have to go to prison. This is where we are. The lines are open. For those of you who are on the phone, you can press 1. I'll bring you in on air. For those of you online, you can give me your comments. I'll read them on air. You don't have to wait on me to ask a question. Just whenever you tune in or whenever you press 1 or comment, I'll stop talking and read your comments or bring you on air. Please remember the rules, okay? No profanity, and I got a juror who wants to speak. No profanity, no name-calling of other jurors. Stay on topic, and all viewpoints are welcome. Juror number 9354, you're live on You Be the Jury. What's your comment?
This particular school needs to be held accountable, but schools in general, I don't think so, if they don't know anything about the situation. This particular school, knowing about the situation, should be held accountable. So I agree.
All right.
Should be held accountable.
Thank you very much. Let me ask you this one question right quickly. So, well, first of all, do you have kids in the school system, like in grade school or high school?
Grandkids, yes.
Okay, grandkids. So let me then ask you this. Let's say that the school responds, well, we don't know. As a parent or grandparent of kids in the school system, is there anything you think they should be doing to make sure they would know? What would you want them to do to not be able to have the excuse that they didn't know?
Well, I'm sure they do a background check on, you know, for teachers. So I really, I mean, teachers should be held to high standards. They shouldn't molest kids or go with their students or whatever. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a hard thing, isn't it? I mean, it really is. So thank you for being honest. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot as much as I really want to hear what people have to say about that.
That's okay.
Thank you very much, Jura, for that comment. You know, that's that shade of gray area, isn't it, everyone? We want the schools to be held accountable. I mean, I definitely do. And I agree with the juror. In this situation, to me, there's just no excuse. They actually had a student come tell them what he observed, and it appears that the teacher wasn't really refuting it, because they investigated, then they removed the girl from his classroom and told him he's not to have any further contact with her, but he defied the instructions and continued to have the contact. Then about a month later, they suspended him. But as another juror mentioned earlier, what about the other girls in the classroom? So all the school did was said, we're going to make sure you don't talk with her again, but we're going to leave you in the classroom with other girls and just tell you don't talk with her again. You know, a little slap on the wrist, if you will. The teacher continues. So then comes that question of, well, what can you do proactively? Because we know they do the background checks, but as everyone knows, you know, background checks are only going to find you after you've committed a crime, right? We have many, many people. As a matter of fact, most of the teachers that we've seen on national news who have committed some kind of act in this matter have passed all the background checks. They don't have, you know, criminal background. So they do the background check. And what I would hope as someone who has previously managed many employees, as a director of nursing and knowing that you have to be responsible for so many employees, and not only the employees, but actually the outcomes of the care that they give, is that they should be very proactive. For people who worked with me, to this day they could tell you I was very proactive. I didn't wait to get complaints that staff were or were not doing things. I was out there hiding behind the curtains in the residence rooms, having the residents push the call lights to see how long it took staff to respond. I was placing little marks on the residents' briefs, a.k.a. diapers, on the outside and slipping a little note in the bed that said, when you get ready to change, when you change this resident, come find me, and putting a time on it. So if within a specified time frame you had not come to me, I knew to go back to those particular vulnerable residents and see if they were soaking wet, because it meant you didn't find the note. You didn't find the note because you didn't go change them like you were supposed to. In other words, you had to be proactive. I came in on nights, weekends, holidays, different times. I think that's what these school officials have to do. They have to be in the classrooms monitoring what's going on more than just when they're worried about how their grades are going to look overall for funding. I think they have to take seriously this message they're sending to students. See something, say something. Well, the student saw something, he said something, but the school virtually did nothing. Based on the discipline that is reported, that they've confirmed to CNN that they gave. Why see something, say something if you're going to do nothing? So I believe they, and then the other thing is they didn't tell the parents right away. You know, how can I as a parent not know that you as the school know that another student saw one of your teachers kissing my 15-year-old daughter in the classroom? So they cannot be reactive. You're the jury. You're on fire tonight. So I'm loving the comments that you are making tonight. I have another online comment here tonight. This juror also believes, and I'm not reading them verbatim because of time's sake, but I have another juror who believes that the school should be held liable for what happened to the student in this particular situation. I have another juror who also believes, we're actually getting a unanimous verdict tonight. I have another juror who believes that the school is responsible. They believe that the parents should sue the school. I have another juror who also believes the same way. So it's amazing. Everyone is deliberating the same tonight. And I really, really say to you, think about if this was your daughter, your niece, your sister, or you, or your son, and you have homeschooled them all the way up through the eighth grade, then the very first year that you send them out into the public school, into that place of trust, they end up being on the run or kidnapped, as the authorities allege, by a 50-year-old teacher. And for 2 weeks right now, you don't know where your child is. You can't talk with him or her. You have no idea if your child is alive or dead. You got email that a 50-year-old man has been sending back and forth from his job email to your daughter. And then you go to his Twitter page. And on his Twitter page, Mr. Tad Cummings, that's the teacher, Tad Cummings, his description of himself, I read it, is Jesus freak, child of the king, teacher, clinician, drummer, Jesus freak, child of the king. And here he is running with your child. And for 2 weeks, they've been off the grid to the point where even the FBI, with all the cyber intelligence that they have, cannot find them. Should the school be held liable? I say undoubtedly, indisputably, irrefutably, and unequivocally, yes, they should. For those of you who have tuned in tonight and you want to learn more about me, my law office, please feel free to go to callrocywilliams.com. I will say congratulations. I'm opening a new office in Orlando this week, so I will have the Miami office of Roxy Williams Law Group and the Orlando office of Roxy Williams Law Group. Yeah, I'm about to be working even harder than I work right now, but it's all worth it as I fight for your justice. So you can learn more about the law office, the things I do, recent testimonials and results of other clients at callroxywilliams.com. And you can also join me on social media from that website. That is callroxywilliams.com. Let me tell you something. Guard the people that you love. Protect the people whom you love. And I don't care who the person is in authority. Do not trust that a person's position ultimately is their character. Do not trust that a person's position ultimately is the same as their character. This is how priests have been able to molest altar boys. It is how you have judges who take bribes, officers, police officers who beat the suspects instead of arresting them without violence when there is no need, but instead use excessive force. This is how you have pastors who molest boys and girls. This is how you have teachers who molest your kids and run away with them because we confuse their title or their position with who they are at heart. Don't be fooled or bamboozled. You guys know I'll see you next Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I love you. Good night, America. Thank you for joining me on You Be the Jury.